and welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. The band Dead Gowns is the project of singer-songwriter Genevieve Baudouin, who has been making music for many years, but this is her first full-length album, and it's called It's Summer, I Love You, and I'm Surrounded by Snow. It starts out with a song called How Can I? Became aware of Dead Gowns when you put them on our South by Southwest schedule in 2023, and we saw them perform at the Velveeta Room in Austin, and it's a very like intimate setting, and they just projected such sincerity, and Baudouin has such a beautiful voice that it really stuck with me. And so we kept waiting for an album to come out, and you know, she's put out a couple EPs, but this is the first full-length album now.
Yeah, it's a really striking and like, okay, sometimes I'm kind of tinkering with it and it doesn't quite gel, and here, and you'll get this, that it's apparently recorded over many sessions over the course of 4 years, so that she started recording in 2020 and wrapped up it recording in 2023 with some of the same core players, especially her like chief collaborator, Luke Kalluk, who plays sort of second guitar and a bunch of other instruments, as well as co-producing and engineering. But then Hamilton Belk plays pedal steel on a number of tracks. But
yeah,
then
I remember him at their performance.
Yeah, but then a couple of different bassists, a couple of different drummers, and then different backing vocals in addition to Hamilton Belk. In addition to Luke Kalluk. But it feels very cohesive, and at least on their pitch, it's like, oh, we're just recording this in bedrooms and old churches and just, oh, here and there. But it sounds great. The acoustics are phenomenal. It sounds big and intimate at the same time. And this song really plays with that, because it starts off with this sort of quiet longing that then explodes with the electric guitars and drums, and then this kind of click, click, click kind of percussion that I'm not even sure that might be a drum machine. There is a credited drum machine to Luke Kalluk, or it might be organic drumming, but it has such a great texture to it. It's just a striking start to the album.
So the next song we'll play is called Wet Dog.
Thank you.
So in all the talk about the sound of that first track, we didn't really mention how absolutely phenomenal that voice is. Boudouin is just a revelation. And all I can think of is, I think, that first time we heard Angel Olsen sing.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this reminds me, or the feeling that I get from listening to this reminds me of first hearing Burn Your Fire for No Witness, which was Angel Olsen's first record.
Yeah, that a voice can be so strong and so vulnerable at the same time, that this feeling of, yeah, this swagger and utter just longing. And, you know, a lot of their write-up is all about the pang of desire and longing, but holy moly, are these first two tracks really portraying that, of just like, I love you so much, but I can't make the move. I love you so much, but I'm kind of scared. And yeah, these metaphors of these apples will keep bobbing forever is such a just evocative image. And then, of course, I'm your dog. I'm a wet dog, not just a dog, a wet dog, but I'm also scared of fireworks. And so, and these crazy synth sounds coming in. So the earthiness and power of her voice contrasted with these weird electronic sounds is quite striking.
Yeah, her voice is a really great balance of wild, like, raw feel, but also not too far in that direction where it can be grating or dissonant. Like, it's really beautiful, but also just has a lot of character and like organic feel. And I just love the way she sings. And she said in an interview that I read that her grandmother gave her piano and voice lessons starting at like age 5 and encouraged her to see music as more than just a hobby. And so she's been singing and making music basically her whole life.
Yeah, this is clearly someone who is not a dilettante. This is just an impressive and so confident voice to have that kind of unrelenting and uncompromising vision on his first record is really quite something.
So there are a lot of songs on this record about nostalgia and like referencing her grandmother. And this next song is called Kid One, and it evokes a lot of that nostalgia of being a kid. That opens up the album are a really good choice to begin with, I think, because they're very muscular and really show off her voice, but also have a good beat and are kind of rocking and catchy. There's a lot of varied tones throughout the album, but this is the one that I think was stuck in my head the most often. It's like, it feels like it's the most pop song on the album.
Yeah, it really weaves this song tapestry. It really draws you in. And I mean, you talked about them being kind of rocking. I felt like the first two songs start pretty slow and then build to a crescendo. This one gets going pretty strong and then kind of gets bigger. So this one we dove in right at the beginning because it's already big. It arrives fully formed. And, you know, where I felt like the first two songs are about this kind of longing for what might be in the future. And this is looking backwards and kind of longing for that childhood of like, oh, I wish I could be that kid. And, you know, maybe you'll bring up the courage to tell the person you love them that you love them now, but you can't go back to your childhood. So it's really bittersweet. But emphasis on the sweet. It really, you feel how much she enjoyed her childhood.
And you kind of get the feel in some of these songs about, you know, her family was half French, half American, and she spent a lot of time in Lyon where she had family there. And this feels kind of like the French countryside to me. And it's interesting to me that she now lives in Portland, the other Portland, which is in Maine. And so these are all kind of East North Coast, what do you call it?
I'm not sure. The Northeast Coast.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Musicians. And so it has such a summery feel in an area that is kind of wintry and snowy.
Yeah. So we go from, this opening to the record into the more, I think, to me, more exploratory and maybe more, at moments aggressive, kind of middle of the record. And the next track we'll play is called Burnout. I described this section of the record as angry and musically maybe not so much. It's very quiet and sweet. You have her voice with just this tiny sprinkling of the backing vocals, as well as this amazing bowed bass. There are two credited bassists.
Well, there's the bowed bass and then there's just the regular bass, which is really low.
Yeah, so the two credited basses are Nat Baldwin and Alex Millen. But only Alex Millen is credited with the upright bass. So anyway, that just gives it such a great resonance. Mm-hmm. But the contrast thematically from Kid One, Nostalgia for Youth, and this song about watching your grandma die and your dad die, presumably, like, it's really a bummer.
Well, I mean, I think it's also just about connecting the generations together and how you're part of this tapestry of lives.
Yeah, but it is less of the nostalgia and more of the kind of accepting the reality of what it is to be in that generational. And yeah, you can't look backwards. You just got to keep going.
But it's such a tone shift from the first three albums. There was first three songs. There was a song we didn't play called Brother. That's a little bit of an intermediary in tone. But then this one is so somber and quiet. And you really need headphones to appreciate it, because I actually hadn't heard the backing vocals until I listened to it with good headphones.
Yeah, and there's also, I think the production on this record is pretty restrained, but there is a little bit of this kind of echoing guitar sound that is pinging between the right and left. And mm-hmm. I think too much of that can be gimmicky, but here it does create a lot of atmosphere that's pretty awesome.
Well, also that deep bass that sounds like it's being played in a large room. It reminds me of Nico Case and some of her earlier records that had a lot of that really beautiful bass sound that just is so soulful.
Yeah. And so from this soulful, kind of quiet and contemplative and very sad song, we go to a song that is, I think living up to what I was promising with the anger, and it's almost like almost a grungy sound. It's called In the Haze.
My hope has a brave face. We'll be right back.
listening to the song again is a reminder of how curious memory is, because the song is about 4 minutes, 17 seconds long, and only the last half minute or so of it is that really chugging, loud noise. And what I described as grungy, but that makes the impression because that's where it wraps up. And the arc of the song is kind of pretty and slow, and it's seven verses which gradually build in intensity, but it's a slow burn until we finally get to this In the Haze catharsis. It's really quite something.
Yeah, the song covers a lot of territory, and I love how it's so unusual in its structure. Like, there's not really a chorus, there's just these kind of different verses that change a lot, and even the percussion changes over the course of the song in a way that's a little unusual. And this is, I think, she is showcasing, like, yes, I can write poppy songs that are have like a real sing-along feel, and then songs like Burnout that are really slow and you know, mournful. And then this is just a different kind of song where the structure is a little bit experimental, and you can't quite categorize the sound of it.
Yeah, it's really pretty. And again, just this song of kind of being trapped, because I think it's, you know, the lyrics, a lot of them talk about kind of being people just like, why aren't you okay? And then her going to a hospital and getting tests and like, why am I not okay? And then she has talked in interviews about that.
Yeah, she has said that this is about before she was diagnosed with endometriosis and kind of being in that state. And of course, endometriosis is something that women are often gaslit about and told like, oh, you're fine, you're just complaining. And so I feel like that song captures kind of that feeling of just knowing something's wrong, but not really knowing, having an answer.
Yeah, it is, makes an amazing impression. I'm a big fan of this, but you know, it's overall, the album is understated. So mm-hmm. I like that here, kind of very near the midpoint of the record, she just lets loose and the guitars go nuts, and she lets her voice get really big and loud and aggressive in a way that, you know, if the album were all like this, it would be a lot. But I'm glad that there's some of that in the mix.
So the next song we'll play is called Bad Habit. Your chin, take a breath, do it again and again, and I know what you want, you can have it, it's a This song stood out for me because she does such a different thing with her voice. It's almost like a kind of like sexy type of crooner voice. It makes me think of, you know, a country singer almost. And I like that she, you know, it's just more of showing her range of what she can do vocally. And then the instrumentation on this is also kind of a traditional Americana sound with a little bit of rock to it.
Yeah, I think after a couple songs that were formally interesting, this one's a much more kind of down the middle, and I kind of think it's almost like pop Americana, mm-hmm. where it's just like first chorus, catchy, playfully sexy, the nice inversion of, you know, I know what you want, you can't have it, and then you know what I want, and I can't have it, and just, yeah, these, you get these sense of these two people sharing a room, just like, and or you almost rather get a room already, and then it ends with like, oh yeah, we did go home together and we have to clean up the snow later.
As always, I like to remind you that you shouldn't always read a song or assume that your song is the only interpretation, but or your interpretation is the only way that the song can be interpreted.
I don't think that's the only way, but I mean, it's just that I think the playfulness, the tone, the I know what you want, you know what I want, and then ending with let's clean up the snow from our boots in the hallway, it paints a picture for me pretty vividly, and I don't know what she intended, but I know what I hear.
But yeah, it's uplifting, it's cute, and it's got a nice swing to it. So the next song we're gonna play is called Swimmer.
Of these songs that are about kind of unrealized longing, I love that to me this song feels like two people kind of just knowing each other, like this sort of laughing of that metaphor of the you're a dog who can't swim and I knew it when I saw it. I knew it when I saw it, like that, just that these people who know each other and they can talk on the phone and kind of laugh about pastimes. And it's, I think a lot of this is metaphor, and I'm not going to try and read too much into it per our last conversation, but it is sweet to hear, and just that it feels so lived in.
Yeah. And one of the things you talked about when we were discussing this earlier was the percussion and the way it changes. But I love that at the end here where we get it, it's really kind of just this sort of swingy beat that just feels very easy and pulls the song along.
Yeah, that the song starts where her voice is kind of processed and there's this very artificial sounding drum machine kicking in. And then we fade it up there over a section where it's the pedal steel with the drum machine, which is a very strange combination. But then that artificial percussion kind of fades away and is replaced with this warmer, more organic percussion. And her voice is less processed over the course of the song. So it does. It's like maybe it's a little awkward to call someone after a long time. But before you know it, it's like no time has passed. And that's really sweet.
A lot of the songs have a really organic production feel. And, you know, we talked about this earlier the phrase I was looking for was New England, not Northeast Coast, but recorded all over New England in these empty churches and gymnasiums. Mm-hmm. And they have this real organic large room feel, but these little touches of processing or electronic tweaking give it just a little bit extra texture that I really like.
Yeah. And I do want to call out her vocal style. And I think the singing here, maybe it's just fresh in my mind because what that our recent episode of Jasmine Forte produced by Boy Genius and the new Lucy Dacus singles, but that she really reminds me of Lucy Dacus on this song. Mm-hmm. And I mean that absolutely as a compliment.
Yeah.
Like it sounds really, that is another songwriter who is always so warm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from her very first album, just those songs always felt so lived in. And here there's that same feeling of just complete, like, I'm at ease, I know myself and I know you. And yeah, it's really a fantastic song that I really enjoy the journey this takes us on.
So the next song we'll play is called Sea People.
I need to see people. Saw the words too.
I think this song kind of encapsulates what I love about this album is there's a sort of classicality to it. It feels timeless. And this song in particular, I think, could have been made like 50 years ago or recently. But her voice has so much character, and there are these little electronic touches, and the poetry of the lyrics pulls it more into a more modern sound. And it's the tension between those that I find really appealing.
I mean, it's a post-COVID record. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was a lot of loneliness and mm-hmm. a lot of phone use, which yeah. not so much a thing 50 years ago, but it is, yeah, the lush production here, the warmth of the sound, her voice is maybe the clearest it is anywhere on the record. It just is so kind of sad and romantic and really just, yeah, gives you that mood that is, yeah, you don't find that often anymore, and it doesn't feel like a throwback.
Yeah. So it was a long wait for this album, but I'm glad we finally have it. Sometimes, you know, we see performers at South by Southwest that we're really excited about, and then when they finally put out their first album, it's like, it's fine, but it wasn't what I was expecting. And I'm glad this one was worth the wait and really captures what it felt like to see them live.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, that good balance. It captures the immediacy, but again, production is super, super clean. Just enough little touches to feel like thought went into it without being distracting. And her voice, of course, is the star, but the supporting players, all of the instruments and the arrangement, just, yeah, it is a very tasteful, beautiful, you know, well-paced, well-sequenced. Yeah, fantastic.
So the last song is called Sand Plum, and that's what we'll go out with. Again, we've been discussing the debut Dead Gowns album called It's Summer, I Love You, and I'm Surrounded by Snow. And you've been listening to For the Record. Thank you so much for listening.
Is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.